It's time now for Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning. Minnesota Reads is produced at KMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our guest this morning is Bill Sullivan, the author of a memoir titled Lemon Jail on the Road with the Replacements, published this year by the University of Minnesota Press. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you.
So, Bill, you were with the Replacements from pretty much the get-go as far as their life on the road. You started out with them when fame was not part of their daily routine.
No, I started out on their very first, you know, cross-country tour, and daily routine was just try to find something to eat.
Yeah, and I think the title Lemon Jail, it refers to the small, well, I guess comparatively small, I think about large tours that have semi-trailers, but this is a van, is it like a Ford Econoline van that you traveled in?
Yeah, it was like a retired phone company truck with the, you know, the green stripe, the orange stripe, the white top, and nothing inside. Very spotty service record since its retirement.
So all five of you, I mean, the entire band, and you traveled in this with all the equipment as well?
Yeah, there was seven of us that started out on the first time there. Peter Jesperson, their amazing manager, and Tom Carlson, my junior high friend that introduced me to the whole thing. Yeah, all the gear, we just laid everything out sort of in the shape of a modular tiny home, as you would think, and then we stole patio furniture, padding, things like that, and my futon from my apartment that I snuck out on the rent. Threw that on top, and that was it.
There you go. Crammed into this van, you think about a lot of stories about life on the road, and I guess often you hear more tales about the major bands that have the fancy planes and the tour buses that a certain amount of, I guess, comparative luxury, but you guys were, it was pretty lean at the beginning.
Yeah, we didn't even have a radio in that van. I had, you know, luckily in those days, you had to have a boombox to go to the lake. But, yeah, we didn't have any luxury. We slept on floors if we could. And I slept in the van a lot with a baseball bat just to, you know, because as soon as they saw you drive into the neighborhood, they were like, what's in that van? What can I steal?
Things were rough at the beginning, and I think about the development of the story as you go through things, and success starts to pick up. The tales of kind of that wild tour life really shine in this story. What made you decide to approach telling this tale? It's kind of harrowing what you guys went through over the 6 or 7 years that you traveled with them.
Well, I mean, I was trying to keep it positive because I basically had heard that most of the tales had been somewhat dour and dire about the band, and you know, you got to realize we were 22 years old, and we were having a lot of fun, really. I mean, it was dire at times. I mean, everyone has their stories of driving around in bad storms and that, but we did that, like, you know, every day. So, yeah, it was harrowing, but, you know, you're young and dumb, and you're just trying to, you know, I really thought I would never come back from New York City that first trip. My plan was, you know, how do I get to New York? I'd been just reading about New York, everything was New York to me, and then when I got there, I got out east, and I started seeing things, and the band was like, you're not going anywhere. You know, every time I woke up, that stupid van was sitting outside of my window, you know, running, somebody yelling, come on, let's go.
So things started to change, though, over time. As the years progressed and success started to find them, did the van stick around, or did things change that way, too?
No, that van didn't last after a few tours, and then yeah, the last tour we did it, there was no transmission. The starter had fallen out and was dragging along the highway as we drove in from Hudson, Wisconsin. And me and Tom Carlson were the only two. And I was like, don't pull over. Just keep going until we get home.
Don't turn off the engine, whatever you do.
Yeah, don't turn off the engine. Don't pull over. He's like, you know, it's going to spark a fire. I was like, no, we're just going to get home, get this thing over with. And we had another couple of vans, and we moved up to rental vans and RVs. And the band just destroyed everything we got. That was, you know, the minute they would walk in, they would, any room, any vehicle, any situation, they would just basically start destroying things. It was kind of their shtick.
I suppose that's one of the reasons the stories that others have told have been a bit more not so positive, as you say. You know, they probably talk about the witnessing of that kind of behavior. But certainly the band had success in some great records, too. Did you stick around with them in the studio? Were you only out on the road with them? What was your role with the band overall?
You know, I was invited into the studio for Let It Be, but mostly as an observer and a gopher. you know, run and get 12-pack of beer, Chinese food or whatever. And I got some nice photos, and I learned a lot about production from Peter Jesperson and Steve Felstead and Paul, who were producing the record themselves. And, you know, I got to watch how it all worked. And then later on for Tim, I was a studio assistant. I got to work in the studio for the whole thing, dealing with the equipment, and which was good because later in my career, I helped as the for the Soul Asylum records and a lot of recording. I've spent a lot of time in the studio since then, just as someone who organizes and facilitates the gig. You know, there's a lot of jobs involved in putting out a record, and someone's got to keep everybody on task and keep the budget in order. So I learned a lot from all that. Everything that happened, I learned a lot from, even if it was bedlam. And I got to admit, I went along with it. That's what the band wanted. That's why I stuck around for 9 years, because I didn't judge.
We're speaking with Bill Sullivan, the author of a memoir called Lemon Jail, On the Road with the Replacements. You went on, as you say, to work with some other bands, Soul Asylum. You were also touring with Yellow Tango and Cat Power and the New Pornographers as well, and Nico Case, Spoon, and all those other artists. So compare the experience of working with bands nowadays or in the past few years with those time in the 80s with the Replacements. Is it a qualitative difference compared to that experience?
I guess there's always differences in the way bands tour things, and nobody really did things quite like the Replacements. But, you know, I gave the book to this band I like out of Louisville called White Reaper, who are a great little pop punk band, and they're just getting started out. The kid read the book, and he sent me an email that said, basically this email, all the email said was, I feel like I'm reading a book about my band.
I guess that's a compliment, but at the same time, that seems a bit kind of sad in a way too. But you know, life on the road, you know, life on the road. Again, it seems even with bands that were hugely successful, you know, Fleetwood Mac, you hear about their problems, and you think about the Eagles and all these other things, and then bands that look happy and everything, like Chicago. Apparently, there was a lot of cocaine and a lot of drugs going on in the 70s, and things were actually pretty rough backstage. So, I guess no matter how successful you get or how unsuccessful you are, things are not that different.
No, it's really not. You start to find out that a lot of the same problems and how people deal with them are about the same in the rock and roll. My life was not as unique as I thought it was once I moved on, but, you know, most of my friends have much better stories than I have, you know, and I just spent a tour with Jimmy Vaughn and his drummer, George Raines, 73-year-old drummer, who basically invented the Texas Shuffle blues beat and played with Foz Skaggs and all these different people. And you know, I asked him about the Summer of Love in San Francisco, and he was like, "Summer of Love, my ass, you should have been there in 66.
There are many great stories, but I have to say this memoir of yours does have some wonderful stories in it, too. So thanks so much for writing it. I appreciate it. And thanks for talking with us this morning, too.
Well, thanks for letting me talk to you. Sorry if I cussed there at the end.
That's right. Bill Sullivan, thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too.
Bill Sullivan, the author of Lemon Jail, a memoir with his time on the road with the Replacements, published this year by University of Minnesota Press. Minnesota Reads is produced at KMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.